Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Once again, we are here without Chad.
I know, that guy is a world traveler, but he doesn't get anything done. I don't know what he's doing.
He's a busy guy, man. He travels a lot, apparently.
He gets out of this couch, flies, and gets in another couch. That's all. Pretty much all I know. He's sitting the whole way there, so it doesn't make it any better.
Couch to couch.
Couch to couch.
Couches across America.
What'd you do over your winter break there?
I went to the Grand Canyon.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, it was cool. You know,
might be the widest thing to do.
Yeah,
I've never known an ethnic person to go. Did you see any there?
Oh yeah, yeah. But a lot of people don't go to the Grand Canyon. They stop off at the Grand Canyon while they're on their way to somewhere else.
Right.
So I just wanted to get out of town for the holidays. And this had been planned for over a year. So it was a good trip. I'm glad I did it.
Should we do a little counseling here and find out why you want to leave your family during the holidays? Can we get into it?
let's not open up that can of worms.
Oh, jeez.
We spent too much time on that.
Dark things there.
Yeah, but it was weird not gaming for so long. Like 5 days, 4 or 5 days, not being at my computer at all. When I came home today and got on the computer, it felt like I was in an alien spaceship. Like, my computer, my mouse, my keyboard all felt so foreign to me. It was such a weird experience. But after about an hour, like, that went away, and I was right back at home.
Oh, yeah. You had literally just come from a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
To, like, a high-tech space-age computer system.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though. I brought this up before the last time I did some traveling, about a month or two ago. But I didn't realize this until a few months ago. When you buy games on Humble Bundle, they also give you a mobile version for free. I don't know about iPhone, but definitely Android. So I had like 40 mobile games that I didn't even really know about on my phone. There's a Humble Bundle app that you can download and install, and you have access to just about everything you bought. Even if you bought something, like I bought games and I gave them away to people because I already had them on Steam, but I still got to keep the mobile version on my phone. So I played almost all those games, and the only two that stuck that I thought were any good was It'll Do, was one of them, which is going to be on the giveaway next week, so heads up for that. And Thomas Was Alone, which is kind of like a weird, quirky, indie platform puzzle game. I don't know if I would play these on the PC, even though they are on Steam. But for mobile games, they were good. But what I've noticed is that you got an iPhone 6, so you've got the big screen. You got a 6 Plus, right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, it hasn't been optimized. So all the 6 Plus does is stretches things out to the size of that. So nothing, almost nothing is up. It's like things are optimized for the iPad, and things are optimized for the iPhone 6, but things aren't optimized for the things in between. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, right. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Because
suck.
You got the big screen, you want to take advantage of it.
Right, right.
But what I've noticed is a lot of these games, they act like it's a computer screen. So they're doing really high resolution, but everything's so tiny. And maybe I'm getting old and I just can't see that well, but it was really hard to play some of these games.
Hmm.
Not only that, but the controls are just...
Not meant for a touchscreen.
Exactly. They are thought of after the fact. Like, I was trying to play Worms 2 and Worms 3, which are great games on the PC, classics. Loved them when I think...
Never played any of them, but I always hear good things.
Oh, yeah, they're great. They're like... I like to think they're the precursor to Angry Birds. They're like a more complicated, fun version of Angry Birds.
Versus.
Yeah.
Right?
Versus.
Okay.
You can play against people or against the computer, and you have a lot more abilities, and yeah, I feel like Angry Birds was kind of like a simplified derivative of that game.
Oh, remind me, Bobby, we need to play something. I think it's called Bro Force.
Oh, and yeah, I have that game.
I think it's a PC version of Smash Brothers, so it might associate my... Is it Bro Force? Something with Bro in it.
Bro Force, Expendabros was the recent update.
It was an
ex-
Okay. We'll look it up later.
I think it's Broforce, but that was more, it looked to me like a Contra kind of game.
They were talking about it on the PC Gaming Podcast. So, Anyway, somebody mail us in. Let me know.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to research that. Mobile gaming, it does not cut the mustard.
Yeah, you know, the iPhone game that I get into the most is, I think it's called, like, Hero Quest or something like that. But lately I've been playing Tilt to Live, which is a tilting mechanic, you know? You can't get that on your PC. You're not going to stand on the top of your table and, like, tilt your screen around. Yeah. So Tilt to Live is a lot of fun. It's free, so
well, that's something designed with the idea of a mobile platform,
right?
In mind,
exactly. Ports are so tough to do.
Yeah, and a lot of these games, what they do is they put the directional pad and the four buttons on the screen, and with no tactile feedback, or not even feedback, but just without being able to feel the buttons, it's so hard to do that.
Not just that, but your thumbs are blocking some of the screen.
Yeah, exactly. You're covering up some of the screen. So,
but anyway, we don't need to.
Yeah.
We know we have the best platform, fellas. Yeah. And that's why we're here doing a podcast for it.
The PC Gaming Podcast. So this is our last episode of the year. 2014, closing it out.
Scary. If you're wondering about the Twitter contest, that's still live. If you're wondering about the invite contest, that's still live. Next podcast, we will be announcing the winners for both of those, correct?
January 5th, the Steam Group Invitation Contest comes to a close. Check the thread for that and see who's in the lead. And the Twitter contest is ending on what day?
Bobby, first place? On the 1st. Number one is winning with, like, how much?
Two people are tied for first place on that contest with 30 invites.
So even if you haven't even started, 30 isn't that many. You can start right now and just surpass both of them. So.
Yep. So I thought we would, we got a new year coming up, 2015, which is crazy, man. We are living in the future. It is 2015. I feel like we're in a sci-fi movie.
Now, if you were to watch any sci-fi movie from the 80s, 2015 was already past what they were expecting, as far as date wise, but as far as technology wise, we're way behind. Our techies are lagging behind. Yeah. You know what happened? Our techies are playing fucking Half-Life 2.
Yeah, that could be it. You know, I feel like we do have a lot of technology, but what they never show you in the movies is just it not working, which is just an unavoidable part of dealing with any sort of technology or computer. But anyway, 2015's coming up. A lot of good looking games coming down the pike here. I don't know.
I'm gonna let you go first because I'm the hype train master. Okay. I love all this shit.
Well, before we jump into this, let me just pose this question. How do you think 2014 was for PC gaming? Not even for gaming, but for PC gaming. Was 2014 a good year, a bad year? What do you think the trends were?
You know, last year we said 2013 was the year of, was it the mobile? No, open world.
Did we say
survival.
2013 was the open world
crafting?
No,
2012.
2012 was?
Because we were talking about the prior year, I think. It doesn't matter. We announced some year being, one year was the year of the roguelike, and the other one was the year of crafting survival games. Yeah. And this year didn't feel like it was the year of anything particularly. I know I'm anticipating that next year will be the year of the arena class-based shooters, which don't have a name yet, but I'm sure something's going to arise here. But there's five major ones coming out. So one's going to ride to the top, one's going to be for the hipsters, and one's going to be for, I don't know, masochists. So you'll have your five and three will survive. But this year, I don't know, it was all over the place. Hearthstone was gigantic. People will sleep on that, man. People will hear Hearthstone and they're like, oh, that's that card game. No, millions and millions of dollars and people have flocked to that game. So there's that. There's tons of indie stuff, a lot of cool new ideas. There's the Nemesis system, which is completely new, mm-hmm. which is going to be all over the place in the future. It just goes on and on.
Yeah, I keep thinking about the Nemesis system, and that's the only landmark I can pick out of this year. That's the only thing that I think, like, oh, 2014, that what was new that year? What was new in gaming?
I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid, but I think Crawl was new. I think that was something, yeah, I've never seen that before.
When you talk about the game Crawl, you're talking about that co-op.
Co-op until you're not.
Co-op, kind of a combination of co-op and versus.
Yeah.
Local co-op versus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint what the trends really were. I think there was a lot of open.
No, I wouldn't even say trends. I'm just saying new ideas. Nemesis system was also by itself, you know, there was only one. So you can't say because it wasn't, you know, so was this co-op versus thing. That was also new. It was a much smaller thing. One was AAA and the other one wasn't. Octodad. I found that to be very...
Oh, you're talking about QWOP games, like QWOP.
Nope. One was talking about co-op, and the other one I was talking about QWOP, if you want to call it that way. I'm just saying new shit that came up this year.
Yeah.
That's why we can't pin down this year, because nothing dominated. It's almost like everybody was putting out their feelers to see what works, and then next year we're just going to get flooded by all this shit.
So... If we had to summarize 2014, I don't know. I would say the early part of it, not a lot of open world crafting games were coming out, but they kind of rose in popularity. And I'd say Ubisoft was failing left and right. I felt like a lot of AAA titles. I don't want to just blame them, but I felt like a lot of AAA titles were just plagued with bugs coming out. And I don't know. Do you think that really happened before?
It's almost a thing where I want to say that it's intentional because they're trying to... this is my, you know, fucking conspiracy theory side. But I want to say that they just released it with bugs so that the initial pirated copies are not that good. And so it'll entice, but it'll be good enough to entice the player.
So there's a sinister plot behind all of this.
Maybe, man. Also, Ubisoft have like thousands of people working on these games in different parts of different countries. And so there's not the synergy and the passion that you get. There's no way you can get the passion that you get from an indie title spread across multiple countries and maybe sometimes people that don't even speak to each other ever, you know?
Yeah. No, I can see that. I don't know. I think these games are just getting so damn big and complicated, it's hard just to get them off the ground when they're released. But
No. There's the more complicated anything gets, the more things that can fail, right?
Yeah.
So
2014, like see us. You later.
We're going back to the old school. We got two grown men and a microphone. Yep. That's it. That's all we got.
Yeah, and if it sounds different today, too, we are back at Casa de Chad and Emilio here.
Yep. A lot less echo, a lot more dirt.
Yeah. You might hear some cars drive by or something, but I think the audio quality is a lot better here.
Yeah.
Caters a little bit more,
I believe,
to the sound.
Yep.
All right, so 2015, what games are we looking forward to?
Do you want to start with like a number one, or do we know? I don't know if I can
rank them, but I'll tell you what's close to the top for me is Star Wars Battlefront. And I don't know if it's going to be good or not. I love Star Wars, though. That's one of my favorite franchises.
What did you think of the trailer?
The trailer was good. I'm so skeptical of trailers, so here I don't want to put a lot of stock in that.
Okay,
but
let me tell you one thing you might not know.
Okay.
There's that little scene when the droid is running by and there's a little circle below it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not CG. That's practical effects, and they're doing practical effects throughout the movie. So that was just like a little taste of them not using CG.
Wait, are we talking about the movie or the game?
Oh, I was talking about the game. I meant the movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, the movie I'm totally open to as well. Like, I think that is going to be good. But...
No, Battlefront didn't really have a trailer, right? It was like a teaser.
Yeah, it was like a teaser trailer.
Yeah. There's nothing there.
And they really haven't talked too much about it since, what was it, E3 last year?
Yeah.
But the original Battlefront games were a lot of fun. And I just like Star Wars. I think it's going to be a great year for Star Wars next year with the new film coming out. Did that get pushed back too?
2015, I believe.
I think it's still scheduled for 2015. But...
Let me put it to you this way, Bobby. If okay, hey, there's a new Star Wars film coming out. You could give it to any developer ever. Who would you pick?
Wait, film or game?
Game.
Wouldn't a shooter? It
be? Sure. Ooh. Yeah, shooter.
So you're saying EA was a good choice for this? Are they?
I'm saying it's one of the top picks.
Are they the developer or the publisher?
Publisher. DICE is the developer.
DICE is developing. Yeah. So Battlefield, basically, is what we're looking at here.
So, you know...
And I love Battlefield. Battlefield's one of my favorite series as well.
So wouldn't you, after hours of thinking, probably come out with DICE and EA? Probably, right?
Yeah, I'd say that's a good fit for Battlefront.
Absolutely. We're not looking for a deep, oh my God, he's my father experience here. We're looking to... blasters and reflect lasers and shit like that.
I really hope they don't mess it up with, I don't know. I really just hope they don't overdo it. Anything like microtransactions or even Battlefield 4, as much as I like that game, I think they kind of overdid it with the battle packs and the hundreds of different weapons and modifications that you can get. It's just a little too much. Battlefront was fun and it was simple, but I don't know. It is at the top of my list for most anticipated game in 2015. I'm in the mood for some shooters, too. So what are you looking forward to?
So what's the Blizzard game?
I forgot. Oh, Overwatch?
Overwatch. So you got Gearbox coming out with Battlecry. And I look at it and I go, wow, that looks pretty cool. Until Overwatch showed up and just stomped on its fucking face. And it's just like, we're a way better version of what you're doing. And then Bethesda has theirs coming out. I forget what theirs called. And then we have Giant. We have all these like not MOBAs, first person shooter, class based arenas coming out. Arena class based shooters is what I'm calling them now. It's going to be changing. One's going to come out on top. Like I said, second one for the hipsters. And then, but to me, for sure, Overwatch looks the best. I went to the website. Obviously, everything from Blizzard is super polished and looks great. Their website for it looks amazing. You could take a look at a few of their characters, see what they do, see what each one of their buttons do. It seems like Shift is almost always a travel ability. It seems like left click's always a basic attack. Right click's always kind of like... an alteration. So no matter which one you play, it seems like it's always going to be kind of familiar. But then as far as the gameplay itself, there's so many derivatives. You can have your killer, your defense, your support, your there's one more, I forget what it is. And so tank, I believe.
Tank. Yeah. It seemed like they had like snipers and assassins and
those would be like the killer ones. But and all of the sniper ones, from the ones I saw, the archer and the one with the sniper rifle, they can both see through walls. And that's just fucking gross, man. A sniper that knows when you're going to poke your head out, that's gross. But I took a look at all these guys, and I was like, wow, this is really well produced. This is what Blizzard does, right? They're top of the line. They're not on most lists for 2015. The beta is supposed to go live in 2015, so we might be looking at early 2016, but it probably is my number one pick.
It'll be interesting to see how this one turns out, because this is new territory for Blizzard. They've done MMO, obviously. They've done RTS. They've done card... What is the technical term for that? Card... collectible
TCG.
TCG.
Tradable card game.
Tradable card game.
Yep.
And they've done Dungeon Crawler. They've done a lot of different genres, but never a shooter, never a class-based shooter.
Yep.
And yeah, that sounds awesome. We need another TF2. We need something to compete with that.
It's been way too long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, TF2 is a great game, and you can get in there. And I've had discussions within the TF2, like, do we need a part three? No, not really. Like, where can you go from here?
A TF3?
Yeah. I'm not excited about TF3. I'm.
Well, the game's been modified so much that it practically is a third version or
yeah,
two
sure.
point whatever.
Or a 3 point. Yeah, for sure. It's been modified so much.
The game
much.
Originally came out in, what, 2006?
It's crazy, man.
Yeah. So Overwatch, yeah, that's another one to keep an eye on. Do we have any specific dates for these? I think a lot of them are to be announced.
Yeah, a lot of them are. I have a few of them as we go down the list, but...
Yeah. Now, this also looks like a pretty big year for Tom Clancy. Never read the guy's books, but I played all his games, apparently. Tom Clancy's The Division, and also, what's the other one he's got? Tom Clancy, Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes, Siege seems to be having a lot of people's attention. It's, what is it, 4-on-4, maybe 5-on-5.
Yeah, 5-on-5.
Asymmetrical. One team defends, one team attacks. It's yeah. one house. There's hostages. It's like Counter-Strike on crack, it seems like to me. Like you can blow down certain parts of walls, come in through there. And so there's a planning phase and there's an assault phase. And I believe the planning phase lasts a little bit longer than the assault phase. And but altogether, you're talking under 10 minutes, I would say. And it's like planning, strategy, intense super action. For me, I'm not super excited, but who knows? I also saw a pixelated version of this game called something else earlier this year, and it seemed a little more exciting to me without all the graphics. I mean, we're talking Minecraft graphics. I forget the name of it. I brought it up on...
Oh, what is that game? I signed up for the beta for it. It's not LA Cops, is it?
No,
not LA Cops. It's...
Not even close to that.
Oh, man. I totally signed up for the beta for it. I can't remember.
Anyway, that game for some reason got me a little bit more excited than this game. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm getting into 8-bit graphics. I don't think so, but that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't know. The Division looks great. I mean, they're boasting a lot of stuff graphically that I think is cool. And
yeah, teardrop, snowdrop, frostdrop, something like that.
I think snowdrop.
Snowdrop. Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole day-night cycle and a lot of cool stuff. And I like bringing a strategic element to shooters. I think we kind of need that. I think we need to it gives more replay value. You know, you can play these Twitch shooters and they get old pretty quick, but when you bring the strategic element to it, it takes it up a notch.
This is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm hoping for out of Division. I'm thinking Nether that works. Right, and then on top of that, you know, some next gen shit or current gen shit, whatever, however you want to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
We loved Nether, but it was just so glitchy and just like all these things all over the place. But it's a persistent shooter that you could log in anytime. But the world, it's almost like an MMO shooter. The world's gonna continue whether or not you're logged in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you log in, hopefully with friends, and you go and do something together.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to do something like Nether, where there's safe zones where you can't be attacked, I'm guessing.
And I don't know what extent they do this to, but I really like the idea of having the players be role-based. Like when we played Warface, I was a sniper, and I never take that position. But for some reason, I fell into it in that game, and I really got comfortable with it and liked it. And you were kind of the point man, and... I can't remember what Chad was doing.
I was a drunk man, I think.
Yeah. But I like that when each player has a specific responsibility.
No, for sure. That's when it works out the best.
Yeah.
A couple games we got to throw out there. Arkham Knight. It's not going to be a day one purchase for me, even though I know it's going to be good. But with the Batman games, it's like... You don't have to buy them right when they come out. You can wait till they go on sale and then enjoy them. You can play them over a week, finish them, enjoy the entire thing, and just let it go. For some reason, it doesn't feel like the other games where you're like, oh, this shit came out, gotta play it, gotta talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Arkham Knight I am excited for. Rocksteady doing this one. They did the original.
Two.
The Asylum and
City,
which were really good. I still have not played Origins, but you get to drive the Batmobile. That should be pretty cool. And also, you're right about the Batman games. Do not pick this up on day one, because right now you could buy Origins for like $5. And that happens with every single Batman game. They depreciate in value so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought Origins last year around this time for like $30-$35, and I still have not got around to playing it.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can wait on that one. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too. The Batman games are always a solid hit, and one of the few games still supporting NVIDIA 3D Vision these days. Not a whole lot
of that.
What's
that, Bobby? What is that? Thank God I didn't put money in that shithole, huh?
Gaming in 3D. It's still pretty cool.
No, actually, I went over to Bobby's and it is pretty cool. I think it was Far Cry 3. No, it was like a Battlefield game.
Oh, no, I showed you Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
The one I usually show off is Max Payne 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's I always play the best one. Yeah, the level where you're in the club and you have to jump out through the window.
Yeah.
And it does a slow-mo bullet time effect. Yeah, I always do that whenever I show off 3D.
Nice.
All right, so.
I got to go into GTA 5. If not number one, I guess I got to give it to number two. I mean, people were sleeping on this because it came out on the consoles. It was the best-selling thing of all time. Best-selling thing of all time. Not best game, not best entertainment, not best book, not best any. Best-selling thing of all time. Over the weekend, it sold something like, I don't know, 5 million, 5 billion, a billion, zillion copies, whatever it is.
I think it was 8 something. Or maybe that's how much it made, 800 gazillion dollars.
Yeah. And not that that makes something good, but I haven't heard any complaints. I haven't heard any. Its Metascore hasn't dropped. It holds up. And not only that, but we're getting a special version with more content. It has, it supports 4K and it supports first person view, which was the worst part of all the GTA games with their clunky controls. So, I'm sure it's good. I still know it's not going to be perfect, but, it's going to be better than all the other ones.
Yeah, I'll play it. I'm not a huge GTA
fan. I'll play it.
The only Grand Theft Auto game I've played is Vice City, unless you count like the really, really old ones. And I never really got too into those games, but I'll have to play 5 just to see what all the hype is about. Here's my concern, though. Maybe I'm being a little too paranoid here, but they put it out on the console over a year ago. They made all these sales. Now they're putting it on the PC. They're not going to make nearly as many sales because you got to take into account all the people that have both PC and console. They've already played this. They're not going to get it on the PC. So I'm really hoping they don't say like, well, PC sales sucked. This is why we don't release for the PC, is because we just can't sell as many copies.
Well, and piracy is huge for something like this.
That's true.
Yeah, because it's not an online game.
Can't really pirate. Well, there are, I don't know, back when I had consoles, there were ways of doing it, but I don't know. They were always changing and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you know? We all do all those things.
Okay, what else we got here? Are there any games that you're really not looking forward to, like some that are coming out in 2015 that you could care less about?
No, because I'm the hype train master, man. None of this shit.
Everything is going to be amazing.
I love it all. Everything is going to be amazing. Best I'm not going to play ever. Just like, what is it? Dragon Age. Like, oh, it's great. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. And then, I mean, and everybody else likes it, and I'm the one that's like, I don't know. I don't want to play it a third hour to find out what's good about it. But before we get there, let me just run down some shit that I saw. Metal Gear Solid 5, you watched that trailer. If you don't fall in love with what that trailer shows, it's not even a trailer. You could watch a 20-minute gameplay. After 20 minutes... some shit's going to break down. Something you don't like, you're going to show. you're going to see. I don't like stealth games. I've played Metal Gear and Solid in the past. I think it was 3. And I enjoyed it, but the way this game looks and has some really, really cool shadow and lighting and timing effects that I haven't seen before. So I'm excited about that. No Man's Sky gets a little special mention. It's coming out in 2015 on the PS4. Should be out in early 2016. I had to mention that because if they live up to 75% of what they're saying that's going to happen, I'm all about it. Hellraid looks really interesting. It comes out of Techland, and it's a first-person Diablo, pretty much, is what it looks like to me. And it's co-op for players. I think Diablo would be much, much more engaging in first-person view. So that looks pretty cool to me. Dying Light is also out of Techland. I don't know what those guys are doing. They have two big-ass games coming out next year. They both look pretty good. Dying Light, I could see going south really quick, but I also got to give a little credit for them taking the zombie survival guy thing in a different avenue. You're not the badass, and you're not the person that's about to starve to death. You're the runner. You're the person that goes and gets food for everybody else. And so they put in parkour shit, so you're the person that's very agile. You're running out there. You don't fight the zombies, it doesn't look like, unless you could trap them. The graphics look great, so that might be fun. And lastly, Darkest Dungeon, which is my indie lookout for next year. It's a little bit of class based. You got to take care of your group. Like, there's squad management and there's roguelike things going on there, and there's these the kind of like insanity and stress level thing that you got to watch. Like, you gotta watch out. Like, if this guy's a pussy, he's gonna run in the middle of the fight. Or if this guy is suffering from dementia, you gotta get him his pills and shit like that. So they put a whole mental thing in there. And it looks pretty cool, too. Things I'm not looking forward to? No, Bobby, I'm sorry. I don't have one on my list. I'm sorry.
So you're saying everything that comes out in 2015 is gonna be pure gold?
No, but I'd rather be happy than sad.
Okay. Well, there's plenty that I really don't care about. It's not that I don't think they're going to be good. It's just I don't care. Among those would be Minecraft Story Mode. Now, this is interesting.
I don't even know what it is. First of all, it's from Microsoft.
No, it's actually not. I believe the story on this is Telltale Games is going to be taking Minecraft and making a game out of it.
They've gone too far. This is it. Telltale's gone too far.
I don't say this often, folks. Let me verify this. Minecraft Story Mode by Mojang. Yeah, if that's true, then yeah, they've officially jumped the shark. Story mode. Yeah, Minecraft Story Mode will be a narrative-driven video game created by Telltale Games. It will be about Minecraft. Okay. So, yeah, I don't really care about that one. I can never get on Minecraft.
I'll say Mortal Kombat X or 10, however you want to say it.
Mortal Kombat X, yeah.
You know, I'm going to watch all the fatalities online, and I'll be good. Like, I don't have the time to get good at that game and play it online, so.
Well, is it just like that in general for fighting games, or is it specifically Mortal Kombat
Mortal X? Kombat. I'm already good at Street Fighter.
Street Fighter 5 will be coming out next year, too. Yep. Yeah, and fighters, I have a tough time getting into. Also, Evolve. I think we've got a Titanfall situation here. I think we've got a lot of hype, and I think it's not going to be terrible. It's not even going to be bad. It's going to be above mediocre. It's going to be good, but it's not going to be great. I don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's nothing they can do. The problem with Evolve is they announced a great idea way too early.
You think that was it?
I think that's what it is. And people played it and people saw it. If we just heard about Evolve today, we'd probably be so excited about it coming out in less than a month.
I don't know if it was the time frame. Dude, because as soon as, this is when my hype died for this game, and I was really looking forward to this, but as soon as I actually played it, as soon as I played the beta, I can't remember how long ago, I was immediately over it.
That's what I'm saying, though. If it came out today, I mean, the announcement was today, you'd be playing the beta on probably next week or the week after that, and then it'd be out.
I would have been over it just as quick, though.
I'm over you, Bobby.
Okay, what else am I not?
What else can I what else on? Can I shit on?
You know what I am looking forward to?
What's The Witness?
The Witness is going to be the new game by Jonathan Blow, the guy who made Braid. Very unusual character. Got a lot of specific ideas on video games.
We talked always try. I don't know if it works in video games, but when I read books where people are trying to push their political agenda, I'm like, just go stand on a podium and say that shit. Like, why?
He's not trying to push a political agenda here.
That's what I got out of the Braid.
A political agenda, like politics?
Well, no, I guess it was more of a philosophical.
Philosophical. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is supposed to be a puzzle game. You know what this really looks like is the Talos Principle. Like, when I saw the Talos Principle, and I haven't got that game yet, but I really want to get it.
Yeah, me too.
That looks like what I expected The Witness to be. So, it's going to be a 3D puzzle game, and he said his focus on the game, he's very esoteric with a lot of his descriptions and very vague, but he said, like, his focus, or the game's going to be about, I can't remember.
Pushing buttons and winning.
I can't remember what word he used, but like surprise or something like that. Like something that was obvious. The puzzle's going to be obvious, but you won't be able to see it right away. Hmm. And I don't know. I'm always interested when people have very specific ideas about games or very specific ideas for the direction or how they want the game to come out.
Something novel.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's great or terrible, I don't know. It'll be something different. So I'm curious to see what that's all about. I don't know if there's anything else that I'm not looking forward to. I mean, there's plenty of other stuff coming out. Hotline Miami 2.
Life, work.
Battlefield Hardline. I'm going to skip that one. And yeah. I love the Battlefield series, but I don't think it's going to offer me anything
new. I agree. Totally. That's one of those triple A's that I'm like, no interest.
I think they're completely rehashing stuff that's already out there. I haven't even made it through like half the Battlefield 4 content, and I've got over 100 hours in that game. So,
Medal of Hardline. That's what I'm hearing. This is like a cup. All these games just kind of mesh together, and it's just like, ugh, I'm over it.
All right, so that's 2015. Looking,
Molly, what you been playing?
Oh God. Well,
Segway.
Interrupting Segway. Well, today we got into some Divinity Original Sin, which actually took Game of the Year for some people and rated very high on a lot of people's top 10 lists.
GameStop? GameSpot.
GameSpot gave it Game of the Year? GameStop,
which is the one?
GameStop, I think, is a brick and mortar store where you buy video games.
GameSpot, then.
GameSpot, okay.
It's too much game shit.
Yeah, well, this is...
You know, you got that GameSpot...
GameFly.
Game, all that stuff, and then you got DL Gaming, bunch of assholes, and then... We need a new name, maybe. Rebranding.
You remember our original name? I look back for that podcast. We originally were going to call this, like, the Not-So-PC Gamer Podcast or something like that.
Not-So-PC PC Gaming Podcast, which is great, but it was already
taken. I don't
know
about the double PC, but it was going to be something along those lines. But someone had already taken that, and I don't think they're around anymore. So I don't know. We can go back and take that.
It's a little too long.
I don't know.
I like level six in the spic.
Oh, yeah. We never remembered what level six was.
Yeah.
Something to do with Path of Exile.
I know what the spic was about.
Oh, God. Anyway, Divinity Original Sin. So, this apparently is the greatest game ever. I don't know. I was having a little difficulty warming up to it at first, but now I think I see the potential, I see where it's going, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a fat girl that you didn't want to get next to, but...
It's It's kind of like a bad analogy.
Then you start snuggling up to her and you feel her tits and you're like, oh, wait, there's some good shit here.
Not exactly, but I think what surprised me about this game was the combat was a lot more like tactical turn-based XCOM, I don't know, Door Kickers, Valkyrie Chronicle, like whatever, you know, pick one.
But on top of that, you have your buddy with you.
Yeah, the multiplayer is cool. And it, I knew it was an RPG. And this was a Kickstarter, right?
It was Kickstarter funded. Like some of the money came from Kickstarter, but they already had their own money or something.
But not entirely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and this game apparently has like a million hours of gameplay. And I think a lot of that is because of the dialogue. I think you and I both were a little sick of all the dialogue.
No, here's the problem, man. Maybe if I was playing... Okay, so take Dragonfall. Dragonfall, right?
You're talking Shadowrun?
Shadowrun. Shadowrun was the same shit. Maybe even more reading. But you're playing by yourself, so you read all that shit. Here's the problem. You're playing with somebody else through read dialogue. So they're talking to you. You're trying to read this thing. You're trying to share what each of you are trying to experience at the same time in the town. Like, oh, I found this. I found this. But it's over. You're saying it over them reading something. So it kind of gets lost. And the reading that I did do, the writing is pretty good. You know, it's kind of snarky and it's fun. But.
Some great voice acting. Shout out to the cheese guy.
No, for sure. there's some really good stuff at the market. I loved it. But so the same thing that makes this game great also hinders this game. So the thing that makes this game great is that it was based for two-player co-op from the ground up. Even if you play one person by yourself, you have to play as two characters.
And you can have four people.
And you can have four people, but I think only two of them can like interact with NPCs. Mm-hmm. Have you tried talking to an NPC with your other character?
Yeah, and it gave me a warning message saying that...
Like, go fuck off.
Like, no, it just said they prefer to talk to the leader, but they still talk to me.
That was a warning message. But then the person talking to him was like I'm not going to deal with you or whatever it is. Yeah, they're pretty shitty. So so it's built from the ground up for a co-op with for two people, which is great when you're playing the XCOM part of this. But when you're playing the Shadowrun part of this, it's not good at all. Right? Does that make sense to everybody?
No.
Hopefully? No.
So by the do you mean the combat when you say the XCOM part?
Yes.
That the combat is good with multiplayer.
We're trying to figure shit out. And it's challenging.
It is good.
We start things over and over. And it's hard.
You got to
communicate. I'm talking about when you're in town and you're gathering all these quests and everything, and you have to read all the shit. But meanwhile, you have Bobby talking shit in your ear. It's hard to like read any of this, even though it's good writing.
Well, here's one of the This isn't even a problem. This is probably what a lot of people like about this game. But what I originally found very difficult, they don't give you any hints. They don't give you any waypoints. You get a quest, and they don't say, like, go to this area. They aren't very specific about it. We had a quest where we had to find an old lady's sheep, and we ended up randomly stumbling across that.
No, not randomly. I was saying the entire time we should go dig up the graveyard, and you were like, no, I don't think that's good. Meanwhile, our wildest dreams were all... There's hot chicks in bikinis in that graveyard, man.
You wanted to go to the graveyard for a different quest. See, the point I'm trying to make is you have to read between the lines. You have to read into the dialogue and the text.
Bobby, you need to just read the lines. We weren't reading shit. I wasn't reading shit. Were you reading anything?
Yeah, we were skipping
through a lot. Yeah. It wouldn't even be... Maybe if you were actually to read the lines.
But you know what's difficult in games? Have you ever noticed it's hard to remember people's names? Like, you meet 1,000 NPCs. Yeah. Do you ever remember their names? Especially in a fantasy setting when they got these fucked up names like Arius and Thinnipeg. Or I don't know. Yeah. Just like any random shit. You're just like, all right, some dude got it. Okay. Where's the question mark at? Where's the gold exclamation mark? How many boars do you want me to kill?
Yeah.
You know, it was really, it was different.
We couldn't even keep track of the two people following us, our other two members. Yeah, we couldn't keep track of their names.
But it does not, when everybody said this game was difficult, I assumed that the combat was difficult. And there were other challenges. I didn't realize that they do not help you at all. This is an, I don't even know if it's an old school RPG, but it just,
I think it's more than
emulates life, like real life more, kind of like Insurgency doesn't have all these, like health bars or, doesn't identify if the person's dead or if they're on your team. Like, it doesn't help you out like that. Same way Divinity Original Sin does not give you any pointers. It does not give you a compass or tell you where to go. You have to actually read the text and right. figure out where you need to go and use common sense in most cases.
And which, meanwhile, if you're two dudes talking back and forth about how your Christmas vacation went, it's not very good. It's not conducive to that.
Yeah.
If I were playing single player, maybe it would be good, but then the combat wouldn't be as fun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, the combat is good. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of this, that was one of the parts I really did enjoy about all this. And the gearing, too. That's a huge part of RPGs for me, is gearing up my characters and, you know, turning this person into a ranged hunter and this person into a rogue. My rogue is terrible for some reason. I haven't quite figured out how to make him work yet, but...
And that's one of the better parts of the combat, or I guess the meta part of the combat, is because a lot of games you're like, well, I could fuck around with this or that and get 2 or 3% better. But these battles we're having are coming down to the wire. So any little advantage you could get ahead, like anything that you could do to make yourself just a little bit better, you're looking out for any kind of edge. Because we had to restart several times, and I wasn't even drunk then.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things you don't think about, too. A lot of things that, again, common sense comes into play. Like it's raining, so everybody's wet. That changes your fire spells. If you use a fire spell in the rain, it's not as effective.
Right. But electrical will do better.
Yeah, if someone's standing in a puddle and you hit them with an electrical bolt, then it'll zap them and stun them and anyone else who steps into that puddle. But some of the problems that I had with the game were, I guess, minor issues, like navigating around those. You can tell your character to travel across these different paths, and sometimes it can be difficult to get the path that you want. I had trouble selecting targets.
That's probably my biggest problem.
Yeah, they don't give you a lot of room with the camera.
Yeah.
Usually you can rotate the camera wherever and use a different angle to get exactly where you want, but you cannot rotate the camera very much.
It's about 15 degrees.
Yeah. Well, you can press B and get a straight top-down view of it, but still that doesn't always help.
Yeah.
And this always happens with tactical turn-based combat with me. It happened in Shadowrun. It happened in any of these games that I played. I wish there was a back button. I know it doesn't seem fair, but I wish there was a back button for this specific reason. I'll try to click on an enemy to attack them, and I'll accidentally click on... And sometimes it's not even my fault. Sometimes it's just like the select tool is hopping back and forth between two spaces. But instead of clicking on the enemy, I'll accidentally click onto the tile next to them. So instead of attacking them from far away, I run right up next to them and then run out of action points.
I was like... Bobby, what are you doing? His archer was running right towards the fray. I was like, what are you doing? But yeah, no, it's hard to, especially if your character's right in front of the other guy, it's hard to click on him. The worst part of this game for me is that it's so embedded in the co-op, and the co-op is so much better than playing by yourself, that I can only play co-op, and Bobby's only available so much, Chad's only available so much. So it's not even a slight to anything, except for, I guess, availability of my friends. Also, I enjoy Bobby's company more than he enjoys mine. So it's hard to get him to sit down to play for something.
Well,
for 3 hours.
I haven't played the single player, so I can't speak to that. But yeah, this does seem like...
Oh, yeah, fucking the computer dialogue's way better than me, dude.
I don't know. I can't imagine playing this game single player, though. And as far as the story goes, I have no idea what's going on. I read enough to figure out what I need to do for the quest, but it seems like the usual fantasy bullshit to me.
Yeah. What were the things you gave me? I have a sheep missing, and my grandma lost her leg or something like that. It's like, it's always the same shit.
Yeah. Some old dude lost a fishing pole and a fucking murloc stole it.
Yeah. You know?
It's always the same thing.
Yeah.
Divinity Original Sin. But no, I'm excited to play more of that.
Nah, me too. I don't know if we're going to finish it, though. Like, come on. When you talk about... Okay, So let's say on a short run, 60 hours, right? You're talking 120 man hours between both of us to finish that. I'm having a great time. I want to get back onto it right now. We had to actually cut ourselves off before we wanted to stop to come record the podcast. That's how much we were enjoying it.
And the way they handle these saved games is the same game, saved game is on your computer, yours alone. So I have no access to it whatsoever. So if you were to lose it or something would happen, then we'd have to start over again, I'm assuming. I don't know if they have Steam Cloud or what.
All right.
But one person is responsible for the save. All right. So what else have you been playing?
I think you should go first with Rise, because I've seen this over and over on Steam, and I have no idea what it is. And it's one of those like more expensive things that come out.
I wouldn't say expensive, but...
It's not AAA. I would say it's like AA, right?
AA, yeah. No, that's a good word for it, because the game retails, I think, like full price, top dollar, is MSRP is like $39.99, $40. Right. And that still is a lot of money, but at the same time, most AAA titles are coming out for $50, $60. So when a game comes out for $40, that says something. And I think that's an appropriate price for it. I got it on sale for $20, and I think that's perfect. If you can get this game for $20, do it. And I had an interesting time with this game, because when I first saw it, I think it was when all the new consoles were coming out, and this was a game they were throwing in our faces saying, like, look at these graphics, check this out. And all the gameplay seemed like QuickTime events. And I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before or... I must have, but I hate QuickTime events. I think, like, they're the most worthless mechanic in gaming ever. So I saw this and I immediately hated this game. And I was like, this is terrible. This is stupid. It's like a game just full of QuickTime events. And I kind of ignored it for a while. And I saw it pop up on Steam here and there. And I saw some friends had played it and they liked it. And I don't know, my interest in this game kept growing and growing. And then I finally got it on sale for $20, Steam sale. And yeah, I actually liked this game. It was a lot of QuickTime events, and I enjoyed it. First of all, the graphics, they do look amazing. This is the best-looking thing I've played in a long time.
Whoa.
I haven't played Far Cry 4.
Better than, like, Alien Isolation, which I thought looked pretty good?
Yes.
Wow. Better than Alien.
This is on the CryEngine or whatever iteration they're on, Dunia. I can't remember. It's a Crytek game, but this game looks fantastic. It looks so good. Not just looks good, but the animations are
good. Who made it?
Don't know. Let me look that up.
Albert? Oh. Jeez.
I actually had a tab pulled up there, but I didn't. I must have closed it. Developed by Crytek. Published by Microsoft. And yes, it uses the... What's the engine? Fourth generation CryEngine. Okay. So, yeah, same engine as, like, Crysis.
So that's why it looks so good.
Yeah.
What is it, first person, top down? I thought it was, like, I don't know.
It is a hack and slash, third person over the shoulder point of view, and there is a ton of QuickTime events, and I did not mind them, and here's my theory why. I hate QuickTime events. I think they're the worst thing ever, but I enjoyed it in this because I think it was because it was part of the combat. I hate QuickTime events in cutscenes.
They'll take you out of the whole thing.
Yeah, it's almost like a cheap shot. Like, you know, how dare you remove your hands from the keyboard? I mean, when I'm watching a cutscene, I mean, that's the time to, like, all right, take a bite out of the burrito, you know, kick back the rock star, you know, whatever. Like, that's like a relaxation moment. And then when they pull out this cutscene or this QuickTime event bullshit on me, I'm just like, you know, what the fuck? I wasn't ready for that.
So it affects your addiction. And that's why.
My burrito and Rockstar addiction?
Yeah.
But it just seems like a stupid move. And what value does that have? You know, press Q really quick. Like
nothing.
Yeah. It's like whack-a-mole. It's stupid.
Well, that's why initially it exploded all over the place about the QuickTime events. I think nobody really grasped the important key part, which is it doesn't interrupt the gameplay. And it all came from God of War, as far as I think that's how it went. And God of War pretty much did it seamlessly. There was no cutscenes. You had to attack in between, and it was back and forth. And then everybody just ran off into this cutscene version of it and fucked it all up.
Hmm. Well, didn't I know Advanced Warfare, I think, is the game that was getting some criticism for a scene where it was like a funeral or something, and you had to like press A to grieve or something
like that.
I think a lot of people got on their case about that. And that's a prime example of why this is wrong. It's like press button, do thing. You know, it's just, I don't know. I think it oversimplifies gaming in a lot of ways. But it worked in this for me, at least. I'm not saying this is a great game, by the way, because you fight the same looking characters over and over and over again for about 8 hours. You do the exact same moves. You do the same thing, just in different areas. It gets extremely repetitive. But I don't know. I still had fun with it.
Nice.
The combat got extremely repetitive. And also the multiplayer mode, it's not versus, it's co-op. And they put you in the arena. So it's like the whole Roman arena, which, by the way, the theme, I like it. It totally works. I can't remember the last time I played a good Roman themed game or like that kind of time period.
Probably Rome Total War.
Yeah, but that's not as, that's more of a strategic, you know, far away. It's not as visceral. So this is a completely different. This is like, did you ever watch that TV show Spartacus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Season one was really good.
Yeah. One of my favorite bad guys from all time. What was that dude's name? The guy who owned the house, Bartiartis Bartiartis.
Yeah.
I can never pronounce it. But yeah, this is exactly what the game is like. It's just this like raw, like dude on dude, slashing off limbs, just like over the top macho shit. But it was fun, and I'm still having fun with the multiplayer as well. So
you finished the game and you're still playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing the multiplayer.
That's saying a lot. That's saying a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to get a new graphics card. I wasn't able to run this on max settings either. There's a setting called super sampling that I had to turn down to get this thing to run right. But still, even with that, it just looks so good. But keep in mind, I haven't played Far Cry 4 or a lot of these newer next-gen titles. So it's the best looking thing I've played recently.
In case you're wondering, what Bobby's running and not being able to run that is just fucking, that's ridiculous. But I guess because it's out of Crytek. But you can go to Bobby's personal page on his Steam account. Yeah. You can see his like 11,000 plus fucking gaming monster.
Yeah. Just needs a new video card.
Yeah. So today I picked up and started playing Dungeon of the Endless. I would say I was into it about 20 minutes when I realized, oh, these are the exact same fucking controls and UI from Endless Legend. And I was like, oh, and they both have Endless in there. Okay, they're the same developer.
Yeah.
But completely different, which is, by the way, Amplitude Studios, who I'm going to be looking out for. God, it's just like, I feel like it's such an old man when I'm like, UI, like a really crisp, nice UI is so important. It's so important. Why doesn't everybody just copy the best? That's what I go with. Like, just take the best one out there and then just run with it. Don't develop your own. Stop trying to do, just go with some good shit. It bugs me so much. It just seems like such a simple thing. I'm not a game developer, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know about copying something that's good. Anyway, so really crisp interface and completely different game. So same, what do you call it? Resources. Same four resources that Endless Legend has. But it's a roguelike dungeon crawly defense. Tower defense game.
Tower defense.
It's so strange, man. It's such a weird game. Like, I don't even know how they came up with this. So, roguelike in that the dungeon is original every time you play it. And that's about it, I would say. So the roguelike isn't that, but that was the main selling point for me. But, oh, also tower defense. I enjoy tower defense games. So, I thought it was going to be very roguelike-y. It's not that roguelike-y. It's, only in the randomness of the dungeon. Other than that, you have to start from the beginning every single time. So you start with basically the whole thing is it's 8-bit graphics, but it's pretty. It's well done. It's not like all these other games. This is kind of like a stylized, artistic take on 8-bit graphics. But besides that, so you're on the spaceship that crashed, and you open up your doors. You have your power crystal, which is what's going to get you out of there, I guess is how it works. And you have to power all these rooms that you go into, which are all randomized. Meanwhile, waves of enemies come in every once in a while from different directions. But you only have so many resources to spend on turrets as your characters are walking around and trying to explore the rest of what's going on. There's a lot going on here. You have to explore and defend and find the exit. Once you find the exit, you go back and you get the power crystal, and then you have to carry it to the exit. But during that, you're just getting mobbed on. Non-stop waves and waves of monsters.
So are you playing a character in addition to setting up turrets?
Yeah, you're playing multiple characters. Like one or two. You can unlock up to four, I believe. And so you're doing... But it's not like Sanctum. It's completely different. This is something kind of new. It's almost where, like, you're trying to set up your own escort mission to the exit. So you're exploring, you're getting new shit, and you're trying to find the exit. Once you find the exit, you try to make a turret line for you to walk that with the crystal, but you walk really slow and you can't attack during that. So the other person has the other person and the turrets have to protect you while you're... I know it's really confusing, but it's kind of like a tower defense game with exploration where you're setting up an escort mission for yourself. I know it sounds crazy, but it was a lot of fun. I'm going to continue to play it.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
And I think you can actually buy this in a bundle, Dungeon of the Endless and Endless Legend.
Good for them. Like, I'm looking out for whatever they make next. They have original ideas. They're a French company. So maybe that's why they're coming out with stuff that isn't all over the place. So I'm looking forward to anything they put out next.
All right, cool. So if you've been listening for a while, then you know my history with Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
That was your 2014, I think. Game of the Year. It just was your 2014.
I played a lot of that game. I bought it a year ago, and it took me forever to beat. Because I finally beat it last week. It took me 27 hours. I got caught up in a lot of the side missions.
That doesn't sound like very long.
That was the same amount of time I spent on Mass Effect 3.
But you were talking about like weeks and weeks and weeks. I know you're, I guess, going...
Well, I was playing other things at the same time.
Right.
But I was playing it a lot maybe like last January, last February, and then I stopped playing it for the longest time, and it was just sitting there forever. I just got caught up doing side missions. This was the first Assassin's Creed game I ever played. And from what I hear from most people, it was one of the good ones. And I would totally agree. I really enjoyed this game. Especially the music. Love the pirate theme. You know, if a game has a good theme, I can, like, that'll do it for me. That'll sell me on it alone. I can't say, like, yes, it's the most amazing game ever, but I can definitely enjoy it. Like, you actually feel like a pirate. You're sailing around in your ship, you're firing cannons, you're, you know, swashbuckling, like, flying in on the rope and, you know, doing all that pirate stuff. But it was good. Having it broken up so many times throughout the year, I really lost track of the main quest line and what was happening, and I had to do a lot of Wikipedia. And I think it's cool that they also incorporate a lot of real history. You know, even after I beat the game, I was on Wikipedia looking up all these names and reading about the characters in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised by this, but lifespan of a pirate, not that long. Like, most of these guys did not even make it to their 40s. And
Pirate Bay just got shot down after
Pirate
like
Bay, RIP,
20 years.
Man. Shit. Yeah. But Demonoid is back up, dude. Did you ever use Demonoid?
No.
Holy shit, man.
I don't torrent, Bobby.
Oh, okay.
regardless of why all the games I talk about, nobody sees me ever play on Steam. I don't torrent, Bobby.
This guy's taking the high road here. Yeah, but Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. Really liked that game. Even tried out the multiplayer a little bit, but didn't really care much for that.
How was the ending for you?
The ending was good.
Nice.
I was totally satisfied with the ending, and I don't even know what this got on Metacritic or how it was received generally, but I really enjoyed this game, and I don't know if I'm ready to jump into another Black or another Assassin's Creed. I know there's like a ton of them out there, and I know a lot of people have told me, "Oh, this is the good one. That's the good one." But I've already forgot because
it's almost like Call of Duty. They come out with one like twice a year. There's Assassin's Creed,
and I don't even know if they're all numerical either. I think there was like two versions of two. There was Brotherhood. And
oh yeah, there's all kind of shit. Like Unity. Is that part of?
Oh, Unity is like the last one. I said it's going to be the final one. You know what I would play though is there was, I don't know if it was a standalone or if it was just an extension of this, but Freedom Cry was like a DLC or a standalone.
The American one?
No, that is a. That's has to do with Black Flag, and it's based on. Your first mate is this African guy. Oh, God, what's it? I can't remember his name, but he was actually a pretty interesting character. No. He was actually a pretty interesting character in Black Flag, and I would totally play a game like more about him. You know, he was, I think he got like caught on a slave ship or something, then escaped, and then became a pirate, and he had like this really interesting backstory. So, I don't know. Cool. I would totally play that. And it would be like a shortened version of this game, but. It's hard to go back to back with these kind of games, you know. I did that with Mass Effect, and I don't know if I could do that anymore.
So wrapped it up on it. So man, this is like a opposite kind of thing. You're loving every single game, and well, I always love a game. So opposite for you, anyway.
Yeah,
I've never heard this much praise in one episode from Bobby.
Well, I did. I forgot to mention this, but I did beat Randall's Monday, and I talked a lot about that last week. And yeah, I still stand on my position there. I did not enjoy that game.
Did you really? I don't remember you talking about that game. Did you?
Oh, yeah. Last episode, I think I talked quite a bit about it. I was only about halfway through it, but nothing changed. It was still the same bullshit, and I still maintain my theory that the point-and-click genre is just inherently flawed, and there's nothing we can do about it. And, yeah, after that, though, I was like, that's it. I'm going to finish Randall's Monday, and I'm going to play something I really will enjoy, and I don't care if it's just schlock and if it's just like a guilty pleasure or whatever. And that ended up
being Assassin's Creed
and Rise of Rome.
Nice.
Or, Rise, Son of Rome.
I kind of really like that you jumped into a game like Rise that you just mindless fun, right? It sounds like
just hack and slash. Yeah. And the story wasn't even that bad. I mean, it wasn't great. It may not have even been good, but it was totally just like, they totally build you up to hate the bad guy.
It was enough.
Yeah, it was seriously like Spartacus or like, what's the one, 300, something like that. It was just...
Gladiator.
Yeah, it could have been like Gladiator,
too. Oh, that was a great story.
Yeah, that was, I think that got Best Picture.
I believe so,
2000.
Too. Yeah.
But yeah.
So, I cannot stop talking about or playing Far Cry 4. I don't know... I don't care about the Metacritic. I don't care about what other people play. I don't care about bugs. I'm having so much goddamn fucking just fun. That I just keep going back. It's every time I sit down, it's either Far Cry or porn. Like those are the first two options, and then I'm like, no, I gotta do shit for the podcast. No, Far Cry over and over. As soon as it started getting a little stale. I run into this thing called the arena where you, it's basically a coliseum where you're fighting animals and people that have, AKs and shit. And you could start with different kinds of weapons, and that's the only weapon you could start with. That's what I've been doing. And I like to go down the list. I'm kind of like a completionist. The first thing on the list is the worst gun in the game. It's a revolver that only has 6 shots. So, and you have to kill like rhinos and tigers and bears and shit. And so, yeah, but that was the first one, but I wanted to start with that. So I died probably 40 times. And then the first game I recorded, I might put it up if somebody wants to see it. The first game that I actually hit the record button, the 40th game, I actually passed it. And I was like, all right. And everything else from after that was fun. I mean, easy, because every game, gun was better than that one. So that was fun. And then, so I'm going around, you know, you're taking over these encampments and, you know, all the usual shit with a little bit of extra shit that you haven't seen in Far Cry 3. And you get to a certain point where you're like, oh, this is the bridge. And this bridge leads to Pagan Min's hideout. And then the game will be over. And then I'll be rid of this addiction that I have. I'll kick the habit. So I take down the bridge thinking that Pagan Min's things... No. It's a whole nother island, basically, or a whole nother area. And that area, it seems bigger than the original. You know, remember in Far Cry 3 where you go to that other island and then you're like, oh, shit, there's all of this. Yeah. But it's not quite as big as what you already did. This one seems bigger than the original one. And I'm just like, oh, my God. But at the same, not only am I like, I'm not like, oh, this is daunting or this is, I'm like, I'm kind of like, I get to keep going on this stupid adventure. The story's bad. The characters don't really make sense. But somehow it just, it, whatever. It's GTA with tigers. And it's awesome. Whatever. It's just fun. It's just fun.
Yeah. And I think compared to a lot of other games that Ubisoft has released this year, this is one of the less buggier ones. I don't want to say it's completely rid of bugs because I've heard a lot of bad stories, but...
I haven't really run into anything bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it's not nearly as bad as like Unity, but I've heard some people having issues with it. But yeah, this is definitely at the top of my wish list right now. I've always been a fan of the Far Cry series. Never played 2. Loved the hell out of 1. 3 was amazing, and I'm sure 4 has got to be great.
Somewhere, I would say, well, I thought it was halfway through, but it turned out it was only a quarter of the way through. I was like, I'm having fun, but the challenge isn't enough, so I turned it up to hard mode or whatever. And it did turn it up a little bit. It wasn't what I wanted, but yeah, man, it's just fucking fun. And co-op sounds like, I don't know how it would work out, but we should try that out. As soon as you get it, because I'll tell you everybody right now. I bought a crack copy, but I downloaded a crack copy, but I'm totally gonna buy this game because I want to play the multiplayer. They deserve the money. They made it, in my mind, a masterpiece. So I really love this game, and I'm gonna support it.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be too long before it goes on sale. I noticed, however successful a game is, that directly affects its price. Assassin's Creed Unity got a lot of heat when it first came out. It was on sale for $40. Far Cry 4 did a little bit better. Lowest that got, $47. So, you know, that's why I'm excited when a game comes out that I'm really excited about, like, that I want to buy, and it gets terrible reviews. I'm like, great. It'll be on sale for, like, $10 in a few months. It's kind of a cool, weird way of looking at it. How much did we buy Colonial Marines for?
$3.
$3.
Best $3 I ever spent in my life.
Yep. All right, so let's move into news. Not a whole lot going on, but a very Skyrim Christmas. What is that?
So one of the guys over at PC Gamer is Christopher something or other.
Thurston? I don't know.
Yeah, one of those Christopher guys over at PC Gamers. He wanted to use mods and the game itself to try to dress as Santa and deliver a present to everybody in Skyrim in one night. So he, not guards that didn't have names. These are just named NPCs that have a bed that they go about and sleep in every night. So he tacked on mods and mods and mods, like super fast walking and flying reindeer. And
so he could Santa do it all in one night?
Yeah, so he could do it all in one night. And he even fucked with time limits where 1 hour in real time was 1 hour in Skyrim time, which is usually 5 to 1. So he even slowed that down. So he's like, he's going to play it for 12 hours.
So this is like Santa Simulator.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. And he couldn't carry all these fucking presents because... You know, he'd be encumbered and can't watch, so he had to hack that. So it was just a super highly modded game so that he could get any, even approach trying to get this done. Turns out, spoilers, he got it done in like 2.5 hours instead of like 12 hours that he expected it to me. Yeah. You know, he would run around and the guards would, because he has to break into these places. There's no chimneys in Skyrim. So he has to break into them and the guards are getting called and people are like, you know, you usually get like two or three warnings before they call the guards.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes that doesn't happen. And sometimes they call him on the first time. So you have all the guards. The worst thing I saw him go through, there's video of this. If you go to PCGamer.com with like whatever, Skyrim for Christmas.
Yeah.
But you'll see all the video of him getting like, there's like 20 guards in a hallway that he needs to get through. And he just can't jump through them. He just can't. So he comes up with some, I'll let you check it out on how he gets through it. But, because he's only level one. And he put God mode on. So
okay. So yeah, he's okay.
But physically, he couldn't get through 20 guards in a tiny little hallway.
Yeah.
So there was that. And then his Santa hat got stolen. And he had to go get that back. It's just a pretty cool article and just a cool concept.
So there's video of this as well, too?
Not the whole thing, unfortunately. Yeah. He only put like four videos up of like things that went wrong, basically. Yeah, and I wish he would have put up the whole thing.
Yeah. And I looked it up. That was Chris Livingston. A lot of Chris is at PC Gamer, apparently.
Yeah.
That's true. So, in other news, the Steam holiday sale is coming to a close. I've seen a lot of good deals.
But this is going up tomorrow, so people can still take our recommendations, right?
And I'm guessing in the last days, sometimes they do like the best deals back for one last time. And
right.
All the good stuff is up there. And we've seen some really good deals there. $1.50 for Battle Block Theater. That's a must buy right there.
Yeah. So my girl likes to play games with me, which is fucking a godsend. You know, it's like, what are we going to do? Oh, we can play video games. And then, so I gave her an option. Do you want to play Rayman Legends, Binding of Isaac, or Battle Block Theater? And she goes, I like Battle Block Theater because it's like Little Big Planet, which I play on my own. I said, okay. And then halfway through us playing, she goes, I like this better than Battle Block. I like this better than Little Big Planet. And I was like, cool. So, I mean, that's a really good game.
Yeah, and that narrator cracks me up, man.
That is funny. Oh, God! Like, some of the times you die or you kill somebody, he's like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. He's got a great voice, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and there's some video of him on YouTube. I can't remember his name.
Recording it?
Yeah, of him, like, in the sound booth actually doing recording. And he's a younger-looking guy, but he, like, the comedy in that game cracks me up more than almost any other game out there. Like, Borderlands 2 is the only other thing that even comes close. Like, that game is just so funny.
Stick of Truth is pretty funny.
Stick of Truth is good, too. And comedy, I think, is hard to do in games, but that...
It is.
He carries it, man. He just nails it. But, yeah, that is definitely...
Because you're doing very repetitive things, and he keeps it... Yeah. Kind of fresh.
And the cutscenes, too, are just so good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for $1.50, holy shit, yeah, you got to get that game.
Yeah, for sure.
What are some other good deals that you've seen?
I even put a comment in our Steam group. Dishonored for $5. So, Bobby, when I say Dishonored to you, do you hear AAA? Because that's the way I play. Like, when I played it, that had all the AAA bells and whistles for me.
Yeah, I'd say that was a, I don't know. Sometimes I feel AAA is how a game is released and how it's presented to us. But then sometimes you receive it and you're like, nah, this really isn't.
AAA to me wants to say how much money has been spent on it.
Yeah.
On making it.
See, I don't know. I would say so, yeah.
Because you could have a AAA shitty game, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this wasn't.
Yeah, no, this was a great game. And I'm not even a huge fan of stealth games, but this... And I hate steampunk. I've said this before. Like, there's so many reasons why I would have hated this game, but I didn't. It was so good.
Yeah.
And the city, Dunwall, was created by Viktor Antonov, the same guy who did City 17 and Half-Life 2.
Mm.
Very talented guy.
And the art design. I mean, not only did it look watercolored, but it looked like... old watercolor. Like it had been dripped down. Everything that you look at just kind of looks not just watercolored, but watercolored with 50 years on it. Like an old watercolor painting. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah,
kind of worn look.
Yeah, worn look. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
And for $5.
$5? Yeah. $5 for all of everything that I just said? Amazing. $1.50 for Deadlight. Like I said,
it's worth it. Yeah.
I said it before. I'll say it again. It is the best game from Mexico I've ever played.
How many games are from Mexico, though?
This is the only one.
Okay, so I looked it up. Will Stamper. Will Stamper is the narrator
for Palo Alto. Yeah, he's really funny.
Yeah. Are there any games that you're still waiting for on the sale?
No, you know what? I'm so broke, I'm trying not to look.
Yeah, I'm pretty damn broke too. But
one day that I looked, these are the games that I were like, why aren't people buying this?
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I'm really waiting for at this point, the games that I really wanted did not go on sale for as much as I had hoped. Far Cry 4, Legend of Grimrock 2,
Talos Principle. Far Cry 4, it went on sale?
For $47.
I see.
Legend of Grimrock, the lowest that got was $16 or $17, and Talos Principle, just $35. So, and those are the big three that I really want right now. I'll probably pick up that Ninja Turtles game I've had on my wish list forever.
So in case you're wondering if you should pick any of those games up, if they're worth the money, buy one and send one to Bobby, and he'll let you know. He'll shit all over it and then put it on the podcast, and then you'll know whether or not to spend your own money on it.
Yeah, but those are the big three, and I don't think they're going to drop in price because those are fantastic games. Those are games that we know are solid, and they aren't going to drop the price forever. You know how long it took them to drop the price on Skyrim? That got a 94 on Metacritic. That did not drop in price for years, I feel like.
Meanwhile, you can get... Well, it's been out for over 3 years now.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, now I believe you can get the Legendary Edition, which is with all the bells and whistles.
DLC. Yeah.
For $10.
Yeah, it's like $13, but still, that's incredible.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself if like you haven't bought this or played it, or it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of game.
Yeah, for Dawnguard and Dragonborn.
Just see what's possible. See what's possible in gaming now.
See, I'm just kind of pissed that I have the standalone version and I have Hearthfire. I don't have Dragonborn or Dawnguard. I would like to get Dragonborn, but it's like $10.
Why, dude? Why if you haven't played through the original game? You know?
I'm very close. I'm seriously less than an hour from beating the original one. I just got to get around to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Will you follow my guide before you do it? You got to mod the shit out of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to mod that.
Yeah.
All right, so I think that's all we got for news, unless you got anything else to add.
No, I'm just not looking forward to the saddest part of our podcast ever.
What, listener questions?
Oh.
Are we going to hit that this week or nah?
Nah, go ahead.
All right. Just one listener question, apparently, from Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
Would you get a console if it didn't use a controller?
Fuck no. Fuck no? Is that hard enough? Goddamn fucking no. It's just like it's the same shit.
Yeah.
It's not the input device, all those in the...
That's part of it for me.
No, for sure. It is part of it, but it's not all of it. Not even close.
Yeah.
Like, I get 100% of my entertainment, digital entertainment, girls listening out there, all my digital entertainment out of... my computer. Like, I don't have cable anymore. I don't sit on the couch anymore. I sit down on my computer chair and I ingest everything that I want to see. Like, games, videos, TV, all of it. It's all right there for me. So, it's a one-stop shop. And obviously, we've been talking about it for years. These two things are going to merge. But it hasn't been to the point where I'm going to buy in yet, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. A console to me is just limitations left and right in so many ways. Not just the input device. That's part of the problem for me. but with the games that you get to play, how you run those games, like what kind of video graphics settings, audio settings.
No modding.
Yeah, no modding. Just very, very limited. And that's okay for some people. That's okay for people who just want something plug and play and just to work and have a...
which is great, by the way. Probably the strongest thing that consoles have going for them is plug and play. And that, well, let's be honest, they get titles before we do almost all the time.
And that's, I feel like that especially speaks to kids. Anyone like maybe, I don't know, 12 years and younger. I mean, how many very, very young kids do you think are playing PC games as opposed to consoles? Very few.
Very few.
I know there are some. I'm sure there's 10, 11-year-olds out
League
there on
Legends.
The PC.
Yeah.
A lot of League of Legends, But, I don't know, consoles good
what
for some
what are you feeding?
People.
Dude, we should play some Smite tonight.
No.
Come on, Bobby.
So I think that sufficiently answers that question.
Yeah.
The controller is not, I don't know, for me it's a little bit of the problem. It may be even a symptom of the problem, but the real issue is just all the other limitations.
Yeah, on the contrary, controllers are infecting the PC realm now. I mean, I bought one.
Yeah.
We're to the point
depending
where,
on the game, a controller is actually very helpful.
Yeah. And Bobby likes to jump in between both of them. I believe every time we play a game like this, he has three fingers on his controller and three fingers on his gamepad. You can never decide, Bob. Let's be honest. You always are like, oh, I think I'm better on the... Wait, I don't know.
Oh, no. I usually go to, like, Dark Souls 2, keyboard and mouse. Awesome Knots, keyboard and mouse. Yeah, a lot of times, if given the choice, I'll do the keyboard and mouse. Very rarely will I do a controller. It has to be a very certain game, like Guacamelee, controller. Rogue Legacy, controller.
Isaac?
No.
Wow.
I have not played Binding of Isaac with the controller, so I don't know
yet.
It
is better. I have to admit.
Yeah.
Because you have the control of speed. Anyway, I digress.
All right. So
now is the saddest part.
Now is the saddest part. Let's move
into DL gaming history. Chad died. He laid on one couch far too long, and his heart exploded in his chest. No.
No. We want to bid a fond farewell to our good buddy,
it's not even,
Albert. No, it's not even
it's
goodbye.
It's not even farewell, because...
No, we'll be seeing him
all
the time.
He's my buddy. I'll see him tonight on, like, Skype and talk to him, you know?
Yeah. But Albert will no longer be joining us, doing videos for us on YouTube and helping us out with the show, unfortunately.
And honestly, like, our long-form podcasts weren't getting the hits that we wanted it to get. And long-form just doesn't work on YouTube. If you look at how
it's
YouTube...
It's a lot to sit through. I mean, that's like a movie a week.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And that's a lot to ask for from you. And... You want audio listeners and you want video listeners and or watchers or whatever. It's just too long. So, and all our videos that have done well have all been short form or really quick informative thing, which he's already doing well in whatever he does, but he's very talented in video editing. So he put those together and we've had thousands and thousands of hits between Steam and YouTube. Like, you look at our Steam, our YouTube hits, and that doesn't include our Steam hits. Our Steam hits are, like, through the roof. You'd be amazed by how much, high production value you can bring in.
Yeah. Yeah, he did an amazing job. He had a lot to do with all that.
The computer broke. Albert's done.
Yeah, we're definitely going to miss him being part of the team. But, it was fun while it lasted, man.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, good times. We definitely appreciate all the work that he put in.
Now, if we could only get Chad to leave.
All right, so we talked a little bit about the Twitter giveaway at the beginning of the episode, but to rehash that is ending January 1st.
I am. And there is a little more I want to add to it. I'm also going to be having one more $20 gift card on top of that original one for everybody that's already in my group or following me, but you need to retweet my tweet about the contest. So this is on top of the original contest. This is another contest. So if you follow or retweet and follow me, that's a second drawing. So now, I mean, if the same person wins, you could get $40 and you could get Rise of Rome and you could be Bobby all on your own.
We can play co-op in the arena.
Yep.
To Berlin.
But this is going to be over one day. So the very last day.
This is just going to last one day.
What do you think, Bobby? Should I do it on the 1st or the 31st?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah,
but
we'll see.
You should definitely start a discussion thread in our Steam group and post the details there. And people can check that out on how to win more Steam money. The Steam group invitation, whoever invites the most members or gets the most people to join the group, we're also giving a $20 Steam card to. As mentioned earlier in the episode, got two people who are tied at 30. So that is ending January 5th.
Yep. And finally, this is really cool, man. I really enjoy that our community is supporting itself. Stoner Smurf is giving away a soundtrack for Payday 2 Christmas.
I think he's got a few of them, actually.
Yeah, he's got like five of them. So even if you just sign up, you're probably going to get one.
Yeah, he's doing it through steamgifts.com, which is a great site for raffles and giveaways in general. So you should definitely sign up there and check that out.
I read it, and I thought it was like fishing for info. So is it legit, Bobby?
Steam Gifts? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
They're closely associated with steamtrades.com, but they're totally legit. And Payday 2 soundtracks are awesome. Like, that is the Christmas soundtrack, the one, Payday 1, Payday 2. Like, that's actually pretty good music. Like, really good background music.
Sick.
Yeah. So we'll probably post something up in the comments section about that, too. Because I was gone for, like, ever, for, like, 5 days and forgot he was doing that. So I already pinned that discussion. Should be at the top, but we'll try to publicize that a little bit more. I think that's it.
Bring it home with a little bit of Smeagol titties.
Yes, the titties are the precious. Are the precious.
Oh, my God.